Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for the tenderness you've brought here today. Lord, the gentleness of your hand. Lord, what a loving God. Lord, as we just rejoice each and every single vessel here that truly knows mercy and grace, we just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, beloved Lamb. Thank you, precious Savior. Thank you, Shepherd. Thank you, oh, the lover of our soul. And what a lover that has met us. Everything you are the Word. Thank you, God, you've given it all to us. And thank you, Lord, that you've given us a spirit that we will not withhold a thing. Lord, help us to venture out into the deep. Let us continue to take that little gentle walk of faith. And soon that faith will be made sight. And until then, we carry on believing you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles today, we'll go to Hebrews chapter 2 and begin reading from verse 1. That's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. See, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We gathered as a family yesterday, and precious day for us, 19 years ago yesterday, my sweet dad took flight to be with Jesus. 19 years. Sure goes fast. And it was very precious. The Lord had laid this on my heart this week. I read this and I smile, and I can't help but think about my sweet dad, our sweet dad, my brother and sister-in-law here visiting today. But I think about my sweet dad and how he said things over and over and over and over. And with my dad, I'll say over and over and over and over until he puts you into complete submission. And the way he did it, Mom was kind of laughing as we were reminiscing. He locked you in the car. We took long drives. And the car did not stop. Even when we were on vacation, Mom wanted to go to different places, and we'd go, and she'd think we're going to turn off at the exit to see something, and we'd go by it. And then Dad would say, well, we can't get there from here. And that was kind of true because we were going the opposite way of what we just passed. And he was kind of an ornery sort. But he said things over and over. But I will have to say this. There's no one that their natural words were and are more influencing to my life than his. And I mean not just in a memory of what he said, but truly he said things that are in every fiber of my being, the words of my Father to me. Now, we can say that the things that our parents passed down, especially my dad, he had great words that were filled with wisdom. But it wasn't the wisdom that got me, it was the love. It was the love in those words. His words were repeated with passion. His words were full of passion. Passion so immense that he would not stop. And he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't cease. He would tell us things over and over. Because, see, he knew that it took a continuing of being saturated in those words, reminding us over and over, until it would become not just a memory of mine, but that those words would truly be the functioning in me, and literally that those words become my natural actions. And it comes that way because it's repeated and repeated and repeated. Now you think, man, let me tell you something, knows this. And you think of the things that are repeated and repeated today. Read Romans 1. The lies will only get worse. The lies will only get greater. But man knows that if you repeat something long enough, and you hear it over and over, that you might even begin to believe it. But that goes back to, what are you choosing? Because you do choose. You choose what you want to hear. The word of God is very sweet. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Do you know every child of God has an ear? Because if every child of God didn't have an ear, then God would be a respecter of persons. He would want some of his children to hear and some not to. That's not how God works. He wants all to hear. His purpose is fully purposed for every one of his children. None of us are slighted. Matter of fact, we all, I'll tell you, you may not understand this, but we all got it on a silver platter. And it's all right there. But by the grace of God, it's, do I trust him enough? As they sang, when I'm in the fire, when I go through, yea, the valley of the shadow of death, when I go through such failure, when I've decided to make my bed in hell, do I still believe he's the God that loves me and cares for me, the God that never changes, the God that never moves, the God, as we rejoiced last week, oh, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for my good, the God that we rejoice daily, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, here we have the word of the Father, amen? And matter of fact, even more importantly, our Father. And I read these words, and I'm going to tell you, I see the same pattern and the same encouragement, just as my sweet dad. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. That's a big ought. You think we ought? You think we oughta? Amen? The Word of God. And that precious glory that was in the face of Jesus Christ. The Lord said, it's appeared to all men. So I think we ought. Amen? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Just as my dad would repeat and repeat for me to hear instruction and encouragement and wisdom and knowledge, it's all here for the only thing that matters, the only thing that has lasting value. It's true. I'm so thankful, honey, you know this, when visiting right now with my college student. God's graced her with a lot of wonderful intelligence, ability. But you know what matters, honey. And I know that. That's just the grace of God that's with you, honey. But it's mighty grace. It's amazing grace. But see, what we have here is the God that's given us the encouragement for not just salvation, but with what we know, with what has been revealed through the Apostle Paul, salvation with eternal glory, that we would have an expected end. I appreciated the prayer of Brother Scott. He's purposed us. And he purposed us in himself. How much in himself? A rib portion in himself. A precious bride for himself. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to hear the word of God. Turn on over to Psalm 106. It says there in Psalm 106, verse 10, this was right, a rejoicing about Israel being delivered from Egypt, and how God so mightily sent the plagues and parted the sea and fed them those 40 years with manna from heaven, brought water from the rock. Their clothes never wore out. I think if you had 40 years of that, let me tell you, you're without excuse. Amen? And it says in verse 10 that he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeem them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, and was not one of them left. Amazing what they saw. Amazing the mighty hand of God that testified to them. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. When the word is forgotten, leanness sets in. And let me tell you something, it sets in mighty quick. Galatians 1:6, I love that. How Paul, he did not hold back. These Galatian saints, Paul encouraged them in, yea, the deep things of God, the gospel of the glory. They had received it. They had ran well, it even says. But as it says in Galatians 1:6, how quickly you are removed from the gospel. You know, it takes time to grow up in the truth, doesn't it? It does. Comes line upon line and line upon line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept. God spoke the universe into all this complexity. But with you, by the grace of God, he's taken years. With you, praise God, it wasn't a speaking. It was the sacrifice of his son. And all that time, by the grace of God, that grace has dealt with you to build this truth up in your life. But here's the warning. How quickly you are removed from the gospel. You know how quickly you can be removed from the gospel? When you quit hearing the gospel. That's how quickly. When you stop hearing, when you stop availing yourself to hear the truth. Let me tell you something. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little slumbering. And I'll tell you, you'll enter into a spiritual coma quicker than you can bat an eye. And it's the truth. We know this. Brothers and sisters, if we don't keep hearing and feasting on the word daily, we forget it. You won't be sharp in the word of God. See, the word of God is always sharp. It's always sharper than any two-edged sword. It's always all-powerful. But you can become dull in not hearing it. And that's true. And you'll be a fool of the enemy very quickly. You'll become weak. You can be deceived in such subtle ways. Things that you never would have thought would get at you, they come at you and they can lead you away. And what happens when the enemy leads you away, it becomes more of a loss of hearing. And I've seen it, brothers and sisters. I've seen it many times over. We all have. And we've all, I believe, some way, somehow, have even experienced it a little bit in our lives. And I pray that no one here is at complete loss of hearing for the word of God here today. But even in my own family, I have seen a life really, in a way, become completely void of the truth. When at one time, it was the joy and rejoicing of their life. How quickly you have been led away. And but for the grace of God, there go each and every one of us. The manna, by the grace of God, was there every morning, except the one, but it was meant that way, that the Lord would be encouraged how great he is. You need it every morning, but I'm going to give you one morning and it'll be good for two. But even our precious Lord, as he prayed to the Father, what did he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Daily. Daily. Amen? And I think of what we have to feast upon in this day. We come forth and we have a high calling of God in Christ Jesus doctrine. We have a royal gospel. It truly is. We get together by the grace of God, and I'll tell you what, it's the king's buffet. And it is. You can choose which one you want, You know that, amen? If you want the servant's buffet, you can go have that. But the king's buffet is right there. Oh, yes. You know what's on the servant's table? Milk. All the milk you want. You can just drink milk all day. And you can be a child and never grow up in the things of God. But the word of God said, for them that are of full age, it's strong meat. It's strong meat. It's yea, the deep things of God by the Spirit. I'm thankful to God in thinking about my dad, the fellowship I had with my daddy. I'm glad I grew up. I got to participate in what an amazing man, as a man, not just a dad, but a man, my dad was. But it took me to grow up to understand that. It takes us to grow up to really understand how amazing our Father is. How amazing our Savior is. And to fellowship with Him in what He desires. Babies are cute, they're amazing. But that fellowship, there's a desire that we want like kind. We want an equal. We want someone that can know us as I am known. That's the God we have. See, you look into the Word of God, if you'll allow the Holy Ghost to encourage you, you'll look into the heart. He wants you to know His heart. He knows yours. But unless your heart grows in that love for Him, you'll never grow to the maturity to really look into the heart of God and to understand what kind of fellowship that He wants you to have. Turn with me over to Daniel chapter 1. How do we get from Hebrews to Psalm to Daniel? We rejoice in this precious place, don't we? Of these wondrous worthies of the Old Testament, these prophets of old even. Daniel was such a precious brother. God showed him things. He showed him such deep and mighty things. He began to see that there was more of a depth than what he was writing. There was more meaning within those words, that there was a mystery in there. And Daniel wanted to see more. And he wanted God to reveal more to him. But the Lord, and it says in Daniel, it said he shut up that book. And he told Daniel, he said, Daniel, this isn't for you. And Daniel wept. He wept. He desired so much to see what we see today that he wept. As much as he saw, as much as God did for him in that lion's den, as much as the Lord gave him to rejoice in, to see the mighty hand of God and the faithfulness of God in his life, how the Lord pulled him out and chose him and gave him that grace. As amazing as what God had done with him and grown him up in the things that God had shown him. And yet the things that he wrote, God said, son, you're not going to see these things. They're not meant for you. And he wept. Do you realize the opportunity that we have? I mean, do you really, really, really realize? You know, we're studying about Joseph right now. Those that have been listening along, why was Joseph loved more than all the other sons? Because he was the son of his father's old age. Had nothing to do with Joseph, not what he looked like, his ability, anything about it. It was just the timing and the time that he was born. Do you realize as you look out around here, here's the sons of the father's old age. And what we've been given in the gospel, what Daniel wept to see, Do you think we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip? Yeah, this is a solemn time. It's a sovereign moment. Lord, let it penetrate my heart to really, really know in all thanksgiving the grace of God that has been revealed to us. Now here we go. Think about Daniel. I want you to read with me from chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs." Listen to these words carefully. "That he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes." See, he didn't just bring them all. There was many of the king's seed, but there were certain ones that were chosen for this. Oh, you mean some are called and some are chosen? Hallelujah. "I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to understand." That's called grace and mercy. You'll never have the ability to understand unless you lay hold of grace and mercy. Do you understand that? See, God sees the proud afar off, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen? See, there's so much testimony in this. "But such that had the ability to in them to understand science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace." Oh, I love that. I love that. "And whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." So look at that. "Who had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans." I'll just tell you this real quick. That tongue of the Chaldeans, it means the clod breakers. Isn't that funny? The clod breakers. You say, "Well, what in the world does that mean? Break up the fallow ground." Can you understand that in your life? See, that goes right back to humbleness and humility and grace and mercy. Break up the fallow ground. This thing's about love. This thing's about being moistened and watered. Do you get this? See, that's the ability to understand. There were many of the king's seed, but these were the ones that were chosen for this. And they were chosen, praise God, to stand. That means to be appointed as a ruler. See, not all of the king's seed is going to be appointed as a ruler. You see this? The ones that understand to break up the fallow ground. The ones that understand, praise God, that continue to receive that grace and mercy. They're skillful, but they know that there's something they need to know. And so finally it says, "And the king appointed them." What did he appoint them? A daily provision. Oh, wait a second. It wasn't a monthly. It wasn't come here once a year. It was a daily provision of what? Of the king's meat. It wasn't the king's milk. It was the king's meat. "And of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." I love that three. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You feast on this, it'll be in the fullness, the measure, and the stature of him. Oh God, quicken them. Praise the Lord. A daily provision. I'll move it. King's meat, what is that? The Word of God. What's the wine? The Holy Ghost. So what you got? Truth in love. What's the Word of God say? Speaking truth in love, you grow up into him in all things. That's the king's meat. Those would be the ones that stand before him, appointed as a ruler. Those will be the ones that will be like Esther, praise God, that come before him. Oh, that's the one that I love the most. I've loved all the others, but you know what? The love for her exceeded all the other women. How did that happen? How was she the king's favorite? It had to be the feeding. It had to be the king's feeding. And when was it? Daily. It wasn't just a hit and miss. It was daily. The Berean saints in Acts chapter 17, it says that they were more noble than the saints of Thessalonica. And that word more noble, you know what it means? A higher rank. I didn't realize there were ranks in the resurrection. I thought we were just going to be all the same. How sad. But it says the Berean saints were more noble, of a higher rank, because why? Because they searched the scriptures daily. What's more important than the place that you would have for eternity? Really? What's more vitally important place that you could take today? Would it be more mighty or more valuable to be the president, a king, the wealthiest guy of a tech company, the strongest, the prettiest? That is just for an absolute vapor of time? Or do you think God offering you the opportunity to have his best forever might grab your attention? Really, I mean, just fathom that. See, as humans, we kind of put that off. But as children of God, it actually can be received. It actually can hit you and to cause you to say, Lord, work this in me. It's inevitable. I mean, sweet Brother Vern, praise the Lord, how fast did that transpire? I remember as a little kid in this place, praise God, to see my precious brother always back there hugging me, loving me, encouraging me as a little guy and growing up and all these different things and always about the love of Christ. Been seeing the things that would set into his body and the hurt. But I'm telling you, as long as you thought that was, it was just like a moment in time. But see, but what was transpiring in that life was what we're talking about today. He kept feeding on the king's meat. Even when he was sick and hurt, and even as he began, he was doing Bible studies from his house. They put the family on the phone. We're getting on the phone. We're having Bible study. And it was Bible study about the king's meat. And they had wine. That love was shed abroad all over the place. Because the thing that was on his heart, the thing that he knew, was the Lord so loved that he's given me the opportunity to step into him with that exceeding glory forever. As much as that man suffered, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't see too many people suffer, naturally speaking, like that man. And for so long, the pain. But yet God so sweetly encouraged his heart way beyond that. There were moments, sure. But yet the overlying everything was the one thing. He's got an expected end for me. Now, they searched the scriptures daily. They received it with readiness of mind. That means they panted for it. They wanted that much the more to keep coming. But see, brothers and sisters, if we sit back and allow an eye to slumber or fold hands and say, I'm just content with what I got, there will be a need for a tear to be wiped from your eye. Those who keep pursuing win. And they keep winning because they keep pursuing. They desire to hear the words of the king over and over. They want to feast with him. It's a pattern, brothers and sisters, and it's the only pattern that will win him. And it's the pattern of, Lord, let it be a more earnest heed. And you know the good fight of faith. I know it. I know it as a pastor. And I get up every single morning by the grace of God, thanking him, but asking him, Lord, more desire. More love. Strengthen me to want this. Give me the desire to go after it. I don't wake up with the desire. By the grace of God, it's new every day. We got to battle every day and every moment. Lord, give me that desire. And I'll tell you what, oh, he gives you freely all things. So, do you long to hear him? As we close this, really, do you long to hear him? Or are you longing for something else right now? I remember at times sitting in this place longing for something else. But yet, as brother sang today, he never left me. But I ask him, Lord, let me long to hear you now. Let me long to hear you in the morning. Let me long to hear you throughout the day. Let me long to hear you and to feast with you. And then that longing, I'll tell you, you'll long to hear for the bridegroom's voice. You'll long to hear for that voice of joy. That joy voice that his friends that are with him are longing to hear. I love that. The day that he will call for his wife. And praise be to God. I love this encouragement, brothers and sisters. If that be us, you know what? If we are one of those hearers giving the more earnest heed, it hasn't slipped. Because that's what hearing does. It's not what you do. Faith doesn't come by trying and trying by you trying. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And you continue to hear this. And by the grace of God, apply yourself daily. Lord, give it to me. Don't ever go to him and say, oh, I'm just so great because I want it. No, you go in that spirit of that man who struck his chest. The mercy that you've given to me. The mercy that you've given to me. Help me to desire this. Help me to want this. But I'll tell you, you keep coming that way and hearing, there's no slippage. You're holding that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And I thank God, you know what? We keep laying on in strengthened hands of grace to Paul's gospel. And someday, it's just going to appear. The beloved bridegroom, face to face. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Vern found that out. On Friday, he was there in that house. And I know that by the grace of God, he'd just been praising the Lord in the Spirit and all these things and going over there Wednesday to pray. Just rejoicing, weeping over him at times. But yet then the Holy Ghost getting a hold of us and praising God. He could only just kind of, you could see the praise in him, but he couldn't get it out. But there was someone else that was receiving it. And the last thing he said to me before I'll see him again, amen. There's one word he said all day. Amen. You know, there's another brother by the name of Brother Hill. Last thing he said to me too. Amen. I'll never forget it. And there were two Sun Glory launches. And the last thing they said to this brother. Amen. Let's pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we give you the praise and thanks for your precious Son. In Jesus' name, what a marvelous time we've spent with you. Thank you for his desire that you've placed in us. Thank you for your plan, Father, that would have us to be now the sons of God. Lord, thank you that we do wait and long to see the appearing of your Son. We thank you, beloved Jesus. We love you so because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, God. Brother, do you have a song? 229 in the Brown Book, and I do encourage you to come. Thank the Lord today for him dealing with your heart. The word does not return void unto him. Let it be made effectual in you. Praise God. You today, take these words and allow the Lord to truly just allow you to meditate on them. He's after you and he loves you. And I thank God that, you know what, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. But take note today how great a love wherewith ye are loved, and begin to yield and be softened. Allow him to break up that fallow ground. Allow him to penetrate you. Allow him to overwhelm you with his love. In Jesus' name I pray. If he tarry, I see you tonight. Praise God.